Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, greetings and hotep. Welcome to Oracle's Read by Omienka 7. I'd like to thank you for joining us on this segment. We will be talking about this evening how the youth feel about the current situation of youth being manhandled in the classroom, and what do we do as adults when we are called and vowed to protect children? How do the young people view the situation in South Carolina? Youth, you want to call in. You can also go in the chat room. We mainly would like to talk to you about your viewpoints on writing about the incident, expressing yourself through poetry, writing a few lines of poetry about how you feel, or rapping about it. But mainly we want to get something on paper and get you writing in your journals. It's very vital that young people need to express themselves about what is currently going on, and as well as parents. And here to represent the parents is Mrs. Harvey. She is one of our in-house residents, and she is a longtime parent who would like to talk to us about her viewpoints on someone taking matters in their own hand to physically manhandle youth in the classroom. Now, I want to try to bring you up to date, some of you, on the situation. We're talking about the South Carolina incident in the classroom that occurred a while back, where they've investigated, and there were two attendees and as well as an officer involved with a young girl. And if you weren't familiar with the incident, that you could have been brought up to date, because it's been on the internet, and one of the youth volunteered to capture that moment in the classroom while this was occurring on his videotape, and he has been interviewed several times talking about his perspective. And I understand there was also another student in the class who acted as an advocate and spoke out against the behavior of the officer in lieu of protecting the young girl. From what I understand, this girl was also charged as well. The officer charged her as well. Now, I'm a little bit concerned, because being an educator, you know, I'm now seeing officers in the elementary school. I know the children can get unruly, and they can get to the point they're disrespectful. However, I do know that there's a very thin line there that you can overstep when you put your hands on a youth or an elementary student. And if we are finding that mothers are losing their children and that their children are being taken out of their home, if mothers are abusive in any manner with a physical bout with the child, whether it be thrusting the child, thrashing the child, or putting their hands on a child to whip the child, those children are taken out of the home and the mothers usually are charged. If a mother cannot correct her own child through physical means, then that would tell you that anyone outside of that mother's family, relatives, or guardian cannot physically take matters in their own hand to physically abuse that child. Now, I understand the officer said it was her fault. One of the district attorney men was interviewed of the police department and said it was her fault and she started it. Now, I understand it was involving a cell phone that she was asked to put away, which she, I understand, was asked to put it away by one of the attendants, and she refused to. Upon that particular point, they called for help for the officer to come in because she refused to put it away. However, and when she was asked to leave, she refused to leave as well. Now, there was another way of remedying that whole situation. We have something called alternative choices, and some of those are, one of those is suspension. When a child is suspended, the parent is immediately called to pick that child up. At that particular point, the child would have had no other alternative but to leave. Now, if that child was endangering him or herself, or possibly someone else that was in range and immediately needed attention to stop the course of their action, then I can see an officer imposing on that child to the point of breaking up whatever that child was about to do, if it was going to harm somebody else. But in the event of a situation such as a cell phone where no one was in danger or in reach of being injured, I could see where a phone call to the parents could have easily been made by either one of those officers, and the child could have been escorted out of the building by the mother. Then the mother would have it on her conscience to determine what punishment was best for the child. But it certainly was not best that the child be lured out of the chair and slung across the room. No matter what that child may have done, there was more proper ways of handling that. For the other children to view that, they could only be put in shock, wondering when their time would come next. So some of the children had reason to believe that something wasn't right, and they captured it on a video screen, and one of the children acted as an ombudsman, an advocate, a go-between person, and stood up for the young girl, something that our young people do because they are heroes. I'm not saying that all young people are good. I'm saying that young people are basically good in nature, and if that child wasn't physically harming someone else, there was another alternative route to handling that. Any father would not have never wanted any male to physically lure their child to the ground, be it male or female. And if anyone thought it was necessary for an officer to sling a child to a floor, then I think the principal should be questioned if that is their manner of handling discipline. If this had been in a suburban white school, things would have been handled differently. There would have never been an approach to put their hands on any child in that building because that child would have regurgitated their rights. And their parents would have immediately been called, and then there would have been charges put on the person. Now, we have got to intervene to say that somewhere there is a thin line of crossing parental rights and the parent of African Americans losing their parental rights right in front of their eyes. That parent was a phone call away. She could have easily been called to ask her or to urge her to come in to do her duty and to remove that child and take that child home. And at that point, the child could have saved face and they could have prevented from getting any further injuries other than what they've already had. Now, I understand this child had some various problems, and the child had been suffering from a loss of two parents, and that was suffering systemically from grief as well as depression. And when children are in that state of mind, they need to be in therapy. That child should have been in therapy, and there should have been something placed on her record in a file to indicate that she was grieving and that maybe she might not have been at herself or himself. And so, therefore, matters could have been handled differently. Now that child is grieving the loss of her mother, and she is suffering wounds and injuries. Now, the young people, I want to ask you, how do you feel about this? Do you feel that this is something that you should write about in your journal? You should talk about it. You should write raps about it, or even poetry, to describe your feelings at that moment. That was you in that chair, and you all experienced that particular harassment. You became a victim, but you do not have to be victimized. You can express yourself and talk about your feelings and call in and talk to your mothers and ask your mother, what should I do if I'm ever in a situation like this? How do I handle myself when my life is in danger? Being defiant is one thing. Young people, you mustn't be defiant. Whatever someone asks you to do, you must do it. But when you're met with physical bout, know that there is a protector, someone to shield you. Children, by nature, are shielded. And no one gets away when they abuse a child. That young girl was an orphan. She had no parents to intercede on her behalf. So the community and the teachers and administrators must talk about this to be an advocate and ombudsman for her as a go-between. And as a parent and as a teacher, I've never found the need to ever physically put my hand on a student in the classroom. If I ever got that angry that I found the need to physically raise my hand to someone, I would leave the classroom because of the fear of me having the upper hand. Do we not know that children know that we have the upper hand and can pull rank? We have the ability to issue a Title 20, an expulsion, which would mean the child will never come back. That is some power. Now, why don't we use those abilities to embark upon the child with a Title 20 opposed to a physical bout and a fist fight? You do not put yourself on the level of a child in a physical fist fight, and you do not deter the child to the point that they want to protect themselves in a physical bout with an adult. And when we push ourselves to that manner, we lower our standards to make that child appear to be nothing and insignificant. And every person and every young person and youth matters. And we must say this across the airwaves, in every nation, in every language, in every tongue, because when our children are violated in the classrooms are no longer safe anymore, not for the child or for those who are looking on at the incident. Mothers, I implore you to be involved with what is going on in the schools and with the discipline of your children. It's very vital that you should want to write about this, and teachers, have your children write about this to express themselves, because they've gone through a trauma and they're going through a process with that child who was beaten in the classroom. There was no need to sling a person all over the room while still sitting in the chair. There could have been fear of the child suffering injuries that could never be repaired, possibly even to death. Thank goodness the child wasn't severely injured. Now, the father that will find out about this, I'm sure he will be raging mad, angry, because he's the father. And someone should phone the guardian of that child to get them involved, to assist them, to help reprove that young girl to come to her senses, to get up and to leave. A lot of what went on in that classroom was not necessary and could have been avoided. We have got to employ our officers that their responsibility is to honor and protect. And in that situation, we've got to employ them that we cannot take matters in our hands of taking away the parental rights of the parents. If the child is underage, then it is left to the responsibility of the attendant and the officer to see to the, that that child is punished to the fullest, but not to the point of being brutalated and beaten. That is not one of the punishments that is laid out for youth, and we should be very, very careful that we don't cross a thin line as adults who are doing the discipline, that we don't violate the child's rights. Now, let's talk about it. Was the child's rights violated? Yes, we know she instigated and started it. We understand that. It's over a cell phone. Was their child threatened? Was somebody in danger of being injured? Was she in danger of injuring someone? No. Then could matters have been handled differently? Let's talk about it. Come on. Call in, because we've got to show that we are more than just teachers. We're advocates. And we are also going to be ombudsmen where we step in and not be mealy-mouthed and talk about what our officers can do in our schools. There's a lot of things they can do, such as they talked about our officers being athletes and being support system and working after school and coaching and working with these children and developing a personal relationship with them. Because once that happens, you can reprove a child. They know you. They trust you. They know you believe in them. And you can easily reprove them or get them to change their mind about the course of their madness. But if you have no relationship with these children, you come in with authoritarian position, and all you hold is an authoritarian position, then you're going to get opposition from that child. We need to form relationships with the youth. They are now young people who will take over our society. As mad as it may seem, they will be leading us. We will be the elders, and they will be giving us the direction. If we don't train them properly, we will have chaos and madness throughout our world. But young people are vainly looking for peace. If we can rule with peace with them, then they will carry peace abroad. But if we rule with the iron fist, then they will fight back. And with everything they got, they will fight back, and there will be opposition, and we will have tyranny all throughout our land. And we don't want that with our police and our men in blue. We want to see something greater than that, and we want to see where we can get a position of understanding. Policemen will serve a point in the school system, and it will not be one to fight against them, but to protect those who will drop the lower level of a prudent man and who will come in and assault themselves and others. That is what we are looking for the policemen to do, protect those who are innocent. The innocent wasn't protected in this situation. The young girl became the innocent, and there was no one to protect her until someone cried out in her defense. And if the others were not bold enough, the one girl had enough courage to cry out in her defense. But when the officer met her with opposition, telling her that she would be arrested, she took the arrest. She was a hero in all of this because she saw a human being's life being lowered to a level of less than a refugee, and she spoke out. Let's speak out about it. Let's write about it. Write on, write on, write on, write on. This is the time to write about things, create your manuscript, and submit them, and talk to people about what you're writing about in your classroom. That's an open forum where teachers can engage these young people to write about it. Let's talk to our in-house resident. Mrs. Harvey is waiting out in the ring, and we don't want to keep her out there too much longer. She is a mother and a parent, and we want to ask her, Mrs. Harvey, how do you feel about youth being chastised in the classroom And in your many years of raising 18 children and having to go to many different schools to intervene on behalf of the school system and your children, what do you think should have been done? What would have been the best remedy to reprove this young girl in the classroom who refused to put herself on her way? We're going to bring Mrs. Harvey to the line. Hold tight.
Well, what I would say is that I think the young lady should have enough upbringing to be able to take listen to what the teacher had to say to her. And that, if she didn't, I would have to call the authority to come and take her away. So that's what I would have done. Either take her away and then call her parents so her parents could come in, you know, and look after her. Because nowadays you find kids are very disobedient. And you find mothers and kids fighting. And you find fathers having to go to the school to get kids, young boys, straightened out. And you got kids nowadays developing gangs and starting wars and everything else. So we have to be very careful. And don't do because kids are taking knowledge after us.
Well, Mrs. Harvey, I think it's indicative of what's going on with the adults. The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. And to be honest, there's not a lot of parenting going on in the household. And if the child acts out, it's because somebody is misbehaving at home. A lot of parents say, no, that's not true. But they have picked up a wayward behavior from somewhere, whether it be an abusive mother or a wayward parent, they picked up these behaviors from. Yes, we do have children that act out. Yes, we do have to remove some children for the safety of others. When we see that child getting ready to offend another child, we must remove that child. We cannot allow that child to stay in the classroom because they become disruptive and they prevent any learning from going on. However, we must look at, it is the parent's place to discipline. How do you feel about the parent coming to school to discipline, Ms. Harvey?
Well, I feel like this. I think the parents should have to come to school to discipline. I think the teacher should be able to conduct her classroom with order, and I think she should be able to tell the kids what she wanted.
Well, I'm from the old school, Ms. Harvey, and I thought you were too. There has been a long line of parents coming to school, dismissing the child, and making a deal with the child that he can't refuse in the bathroom. So I remember the time parents were called to the school to use corporal punishment on their child. And if they choose to spank their child, then that should have been a reinforcement of the parent cooperating with the system. But as far as someone else taking it upon themselves to physically sling a child across the room, that is not proper discipline. We do not discipline a child in that manner. If they're given swats at home, then appropriate discipline should be continued at school, not a discipline there where you will see someone treated like a slaughtered animal. We do not discipline in the manner of pushing children out of chairs. They could have gotten a fracture, concussion, an injury, laceration, and she could have ended up in the hospital barely fighting for her life. So we are very fortunate that the child wasn't injured to that point. But young people, how do you feel about your disciplines? Do you get a chance at home to talk to your mother and give input so that you are resolving an issue? I know in the black homes, black children and black parents, they don't have a lot of discussion. They usually use the belt before they have any discussion. But when you get a teenager, you must allow the teenager to use their words to converse with you so that they can reprove themselves when you're not there. You do not have to use force and a belt all the time, because if you do, you use belt, you use force with the child, he will use force with others. You will teach that child to use force and to use his fist every time he wants to solve a problem. Now, Mrs. Harvey, in raising 18 children, I know you've had to go to the school a couple of times to straighten things out. What is your most memorable moment that you could possibly write about in correcting a problem at school? Say, for example, the child wasn't treated fairly, or you needed to go there to remove the child out of the situation. How did you rescue the child, or what did you do to say to the child to make the child reprove themselves and to make the situation run smoother in class?
I remember a situation I had with one of my children. It was fighting, and I had to go to the school. But the thing of it is, if you don't raise your child upright and brought him upright, whatever he go through with, he going to respect the elders, the teachers. And if he don't, you take him home and you deal with him at home.
Good point, Mrs. Harvey. Now, my question is, in a situation like this young lady's, I understand her mother had transpired as well as her father. She had become an orphan, and she was in the hands of the social system, possibly had not been in the hands of the foster system very long. And grieving at that point, I will say the institution and the administration should have had her on watch, and she should have been under the instruction of a counselor and assisted by the counselor. Maybe someone could have went out to get the counselor, and they could have let the counselor spend time talking to her to smooth things over and to get her to come to her senses. That young child was vulnerable in that class without an IEP or anything written about how she was to be handled. And if that was a part of her IEP with the officer and the attendants intervening, then I say we have a shortage of counselors. I blame the school at that point. And the parents should be on top of that. And she should be inquiring in that school as to what kind of service are they giving foster care children who are just coming out of a crisis, who have lost both parents. I know about those things. I experienced those things myself. And working with children, I have been able to reprove children who are hell-bound set on doing the opposite of what an authority asked them. However, I have no problem with pulling out my phone, calling those parents, getting the parent to talk to the child, to reprove the child. And if that child at that point does not listen and follow direction, I ask the parent to come and remove the child from the school for the safety of the child and for the safety of others around. Because at that point, the child can become vicious and can become quarrelsome and would like to physically hurt others around them. At that point, the child was taken home. I removed myself from it. It's between the parent and the child, and that child must go home and change their attitude. If not, the next thing in line for that child is a Title 20 expulsion. Those will work the situation out. Title 20 will threaten and frighten the child back into reproving. I never heard at one time during this conversation that the child was threatened with the Title 20 if they did not move and move right away. We have procedures for that, and it does not call for a policeman to come in and pull their pistol or to pop their whip or to hit with a billy club or to sling people around the room. There was other alternatives that could be used. Now, young people, how do you feel in a classroom? Do you feel safe? Do you feel like if you are made to shut up and not talk, do you feel like that you could be held captive too? I'd like to applaud that young man for bringing his camera in and videotaping that and making himself available for an interview. We need some heroes in this world, and we need some people that's willing to stand up for justice and for righteousness. And for God's sake, we got to give more power to the people. And in that classroom, the young people took the power in their hand. And the young girl that spoke out, she took a chance on being arrested, which she was. But at the same time, she stuck out, she stood up for the causes of what might happen to her and others, and they became the victim, and they were victimized right there in that classroom. And no matter how they were victimized, that young girl still stood up, and the young guy captured that moment on his videotape hoping that somebody could hear the cries of the young people. We've got to end this madness. Whatever angers people and causes them to want to pull rank on other people or want to become physical, they've got to do a better job of not using your hands physically to assault anyone. Any child that gets assaulted by a grown man that handles a young child like a man, the father needs to come up and say something to the school system and let them know, we are serving you notice that my child will not be handled in this manner anymore. You can call me at any given time. I will stop what I'm doing to assist you and aid you in rearing my child. But I will not, I certainly cannot permit you to manhandle my daughters and sling them across the room and injure them at the account of you looking good in the classroom. Now, I want to ask Mrs. Harvey, how do we encourage our young people to put this behind them when they're writing about it, not to become bitter, but to become better and expressing themselves and discussing it in small groups? We need to go from discussing to putting pen and paper to it and writing about the moment. How did you feel in the moment? What type of feeling did you have? Did you feel some kind of way? And if you felt some kind of way, can you express it on paper? I know young people were writing poetry. They were rapping about this incident. And it just happened, but yet you got young people laying down the law, saying what they were and not going to tolerate and who was going to intervene on their behalf. They're writing about it already, and this incident just happened. What do you think, Mrs. Harvey? Will this help to mend those broken hearts of what they saw in that classroom by writing about it? Will this seal their fate and put them on notice for the officer? And should there be revenge taken? What should happen if there's a retaliation against these young people? How can the district handle retaliation if these children are gathered up and they're assaulted for their action and standing up? What do you think would happen if this happened in the school system?
What I think would happen, I think you have a tragedy on your hands. And I think what parents should do now is be more careful about when they send their kids to Sunday school, what they learn in Sunday school and what they're taught at home works together and they can do better. Especially any child you have nowadays, you got to train them up to do the right thing and to respect elders and respect other kids. And when you do that, then you can take note and say, I can do this because I know this is right, and I can't do that because I know it's wrong. That's what you got to train your children so they'll know right from wrong.
Very good point, Mrs. Harvey. You are so right. Parents, I want to speak to you for a moment here. Our children come to school sometimes as wild weeds, as if they've never been pruned and the weeds have never been pulled out of the roses, and they are not guided properly, and sometimes they make foolish decisions for themselves in light of better judgment from authorities. I urge you to take some time to put down those two or three jobs and come home and be a parent and lay foundation. And don't wait for the minister to teach your child everything. You are the authority in your home, and you are the guiding parental guidance, and you are to lay the foundation and tell them when they're in danger and when they ever come in contact with a policeman to follow the policeman's orders and direction that they might live long on this earth, because you cannot redeem them after they have been spoiled and laid to rest. And sometimes their lives may be in danger because they refuse to follow direction of an authority. You must urge them that when in the hands of a policeman that they could lose their life and that there would be nothing done because it would be in the act of duty. You must urge them to follow directions in the classroom, throughout the building, and outside of the building for their benefit. Now, parents and teachers, you could talk to the children about what are the basic rules in the building for the officers. What laws do you need to follow? Just as we have classroom laws, they are laws of officer friendly in the building as well, because he has authority when he walks his beat as well. We must teach children to have respect for elders. That's something that has gone out the window. And we've allowed the children to talk any kind of way to us and to their constituents. We must really understand that these will be the adults of the world. And if they show disrespect to their peers and their elders, then there will be tyranny throughout our communities. And we want that to stop. And I want to ask Mrs. Harvey, does she have anything that she could add on that?
Yes, I think that you should teach your children to be respected. But first of all, respect the elders. Secondly, respect the police officer. The law is somebody you have to respect because he's going to take care of you. He's there to protect you. And you must teach your children about things like that. And when you teach your child in the right perspective, he's going to do the right thing. Because our kids nowadays is our future, and we have to look forward to teaching them the right thing and what they're going to do in life.
That is so true, Mrs. Harvey. Do the right thing. Do you hear me, audience? Tell your children to do the right thing. And young men and women, do the right thing in the classroom. You know what can get you in trouble, and you know what can get you an A and get you on the side of the teachers and the authorities by following direction, answering back with in a respectable manner, not sassing, not making noises and mimicking authority. It's very important that you should come in here with a respectable attitude. And parents, I know you're busy at home, and you have a lot of things going on, but parenting is number one. And that is definitely a criteria in all homes. It should be that you should take some time to guide the child. And a wavered child is unstable, and it can cause your house to have calamity upon it and bring the institution of the law to your home. And if you don't want to bring the institution of the law to your home, you must properly guide your children in the moment when it's right to teach. And there's very Kodak moments when you can teach those children, not just when they're in Sunday school, but teach them throughout the week, throughout the month, and show them and be a guiding example for them. And mothers, I know you're young and you don't have fathers at home, but there have been many women who've raised good children and who've had one household parent raising them. I was fortunate enough to have both parents in the house raising me, and I had uncles and aunties around that were assisting. We had many hands that were guiding us steadily. And aunties and uncles, put your hands on the child and guide that child. And don't be absent in that young mother's life. Go over and offer what you can in guiding them. There was always more than one parent guiding in our communities when we came up. We had uncles and great-grandparents and great uncles and great grandmas coming in, giving their two cents to guide our children, being another set of eyes to help that child along the way. And then the child knew somebody loved them because they spoke out on changes and reproving that child. So we're going to talk a little bit about reproving. What are the best methods for reproving a child? And children, young people, what were your best methods that your mother used to get you to change your ways? And don't say she bought me a pair of gym shoes or she took me downtown to the store and got me the latest Jordans and jackets and hats and stuff. Material things will fade away. But what your mother teaches you and your father teaches you, it will stay with you. If the child put it in his heart, he will not draw from it. He will come back to it. But it must be put in the heart first. In the heart of the home, Mrs. Harvey, what do we put in the heart of the home?
You have to teach your children what the Bible says. Love ye one another.